The artist's brain is an independent variable. When brought into the everyday world, their senses find meaning in even the most mundane observations. The reaction must only be told by the artists themselves. I'm Loverboy, and this is an experiment.
Ryan Oakes, we're back, baby.
We're back. How long was it? Like 8 months ago? 9 months ago, probably?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Was it? It was that long ago.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I'm flying, dude.
Has anything happened since then?
A couple cool things. Yeah, just a few. You know, kept blowing up on social media, which has been great. We were just talking about how I was on TV this week for the WWE. Amazing.
Yeah, I know you just recapped that for me, but will you give them a quick recap?
Yeah, so basically, just like a month or so ago, they hit us up and we had sent them this song like a year back because my manager was just friends with them. And we were like, hey, this would be great. It's called Heavyweight. Like, it fits the theme. Like, let us know. And we just didn't hear anything. And then a month, like I said, a month ago, they just hit us up and we're like, you got it. Like, are we good? Can we work this out? Like, how you want it to be presented? Like, we'll send you social media stuff. We'll push it on our social media. And we were like, yeah, let's do that. And then next thing you know, yeah, like on Saturday, I was just in Bakersfield, California on TV. And
WWE.
I just want to shout them out because, like, I've never seen a song be used and get that pushed. Like, usually you just get the background song and they don't mention it. The WWE went out of their way like 40 times during the event to be like, Ryan Oakes, Heavyweight with Loveless, like, stream it on Spotify.
Like, so sick.
They pushed it so hard and it was really cool of them to do that. So yeah, that was definitely a big win of the year. Also headlining my first tour, which we talked about last time I was getting ready to leave. It went great. So, and now just, yeah, literally in 3 days I'm going on tour again. So
were there any cities when you did your tour that you were surprised of how much they turned up or turned out?
Pittsburgh always just shows up and it's like such a random city because whenever I tell my band friends that, they're like, no one comes to Pittsburgh. But like for some reason for me, it's just a hitter. Oh, and then LA was big for me because it was the biggest show of tour and it also sold out. And so you got the cool moment of like all the industry people saw you sell the show out. Yeah. You're a big deal. You're a hot shot. So that was really cool and definitely my favorite moment of the tour for sure.
That's so sick. Yeah. What does your demographic look like? Like, who are you seeing that shows up the most?
Dudes.
A lot of guys.
It's dudes. But nah, like over the last year, because of TikTok, it has kind of slowly started to even out. And also just with like starting to mix in new sounds and stuff, I feel like it appeals to more than just dudes, but it definitely was like dude heavy, but it's like 18 to 35, like all over the place. Mm. I had a 70-year-old woman bring me a quilt.
What?
In Colorado. With my name like stitched into it.
Oh, like a quilt she made.
Yeah, she made it by hand. And she, apparently it's a thing she does for bands that come through that she likes and supports. Like she'll just make them things. So we had older people there too and it was great.
What a badass lady.
My hometown show was really funny because my parents got like 70 of their friends to come.
No way.
And it was just like mom chaos, like drunk moms. It was so fun. But yeah, it is definitely all over the place. But now since TikTok has been a thing for me, it's starting to like get younger, which is obviously good. The youth is messing with me. So yeah, it's cool.
So tell me about this TikTok thing, because you started since the last time I've seen you. I mean, it's grown enormously.
Yeah.
But it's also seems like something that you found a groove to make it like the path of least friction. Like it seems normal.
Yeah. I feel like we should talk about it because I feel like a lot of artists like aren't about doing it. Mm-hmm. But it's like I was that for like the first year, like during the pandemic when it first came out and everyone was jumping on it. Like I was like, I don't see it yet. But once I started to see like people blow up, I was like, this makes sense. And this is probably going to be the next big thing. And it was basically just like taking a golden ticket and handing it to anyone who could figure it out. And then last year, I just was like, I'm going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I spent almost 2 years now trying to figure it out. And when I hit that tour in spring, I don't know what the game-changing momentum was, but like it was just like 10,000 followers a day for like three straight.
Shit.
Now we're like way over 300,000. Like my Instagram followers doubled. It's like all starting to like come together and finally just like, I guess, snowball into bigger plays. Like now on Instagram, I drop something and some of them get like 500,000 and that's huge for Instagram, like organically.
Holy shit.
And it's just like, it sucks. Like everyone can agree that it sucks that we have to do that. But also if you just take time to figure it out, look what it can do. Like it changed my entire life. It got me my life changing deal that like no artist will ever get. Like if you just will sit down and try to figure it out and not do the boomer take of like, I just want to sit back and drop the music and let it speak for itself.
Yeah.
it's like, okay, but if you do that, you realize some kid in Iowa in a town of like 50 people is going to get the golden ticket because he went and tried to put himself out there. Like, it doesn't make sense to me anymore. And the longer I think about it, it's just like, would I rather sit in an office all day and not push my music or just say, suck it up once a month for a whole day and just shoot stuff and then get back to the music? Like,
absolutely.
No brainer to me at this point.
And I think people, they think they know what the music industry was like 30, 40 years ago, but you always had to work hard at something. There was always part of it that was bullshit. The difference is now the bullshit is up to us.
And it's cool because there's a saying where one in a million people make it and they make it kind of seem like it's luck. And I think I said this last time, it's just been like my life motto, but it's just like one in a million people are willing to do the monotonous, tedious parts of it.
Yes.
And it's like, I want to give myself the best chance to blow up. So I need to make sure I'm checking all the boxes, even if I hate them.
Yeah.
And it always just goes back to me in my head, like, what else would you rather be doing? Nothing. So just do it. And well, then you do it.
And people, I think social media is an easy out for people because it gives lazy people a reason to feel like they are allowed to be lazy.
Artists are lazy. Even, dude, I'm like the laziest productive person ever. Once I knock that stuff out, I'm like, don't talk to me. Don't touch me. Don't make me do anything for the remainder of the day.
But I think that's like sustainability rather than laziness, because you're getting your shit done. A lazy person knows what they need to get done, but never gets it done.
Yeah. It's been interesting to see because like...
She's all over you.
Even my friends, like, I feel annoying pushing them to do it, but seeing my numbers go skyrocketing to the freaking moon and then some of them are just in the same place as they were a couple years ago. I'm like, dude, like, you are that good. You're as good as you think you are, but you're just not putting in the effort to like try to get yourself out there. And that is literally the only missing piece. And it drives me insane where I'm just like, dude, this could all be happening. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Like just figure it out. And no one wants to do it. It's so wild to me.
What did that figure it out look like for you? What, I know you were saying you don't really know what the factor was, but there's gotta be some things that you do now that you weren't doing before that do help.
Yeah. So at least this year, I think we actually figured it out. Like, there's this dude, Evan Blum, who's blowing artists up.
He was just on 2 weeks ago.
He's one of my great friends. I'm like, that's my guy. And I was one of the first people to find him, thank God. I saw his videos just going viral. Like, one of his videos just popped up on my feed.
The Fly in a Boss one?
Not yet. Like, this was pre-Fly in a Boss.
Oh, really?
So, it was this other rapper. I can't remember his name. Super sorry. But he popped up and I was like, whoa, this dude like spazzed on this 10-second edit. Mm. Like, I was like, is that what we have to be doing now? And then another one popped up for another artist and it was another Evan video. And I was like, I keep seeing this name pop up. And I found him and I hit him up and I was like, dude, like, I have been looking for this for a year and a half and you're the first person that's thought it was a good idea to like master doing this for artists. I was like, I need you.
Dude,
let's shoot.
He's insane.
And then that was like kind of the light bulb moment where we were just like, oh, the songs and music was always there. We just needed cool videos to advertise it, which is annoying, but it's good to figure out. And like the biggest followers, like spikes I've seen have been songs I'm posting with Evan videos. The songs are 6 years old.
Really?
And my song Numb has been the game changer for us this year. And it is literally a 6 year old song. And we just posted the hook over and over and over and over again. And even when I was like, bro, it's getting annoying, we should stop. Evan was like, keep posting it. We need to keep posting this.
I'm putting it, I'm taking it.
You're good. Evan just kept pushing me to like keep posting that same song. I know it's annoying, but trust me, like I've seen it work. And next thing you know, like when I was on tour, it just went ballistic. Like 7 million views, I think, in a month, like between all of them.
Fuck.
I went from like 120,000 to 285,000 in 3 weeks on TikTok, like 10,000 pre-saves on songs, trending, like all this crazy stuff. And it was literally just because the song was just missing a good 10-second video. Like, that is why I'm so annoying to my friends, where I'm like, you probably already have the song out that's going to change your life. Like, I've had multiple songs blow up 5 years after I dropped them. Like, my biggest song with 40 million streams didn't blow up till 5 or 6 years after it was out. No explainable reason, just happened.
It was time.
It was just time. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, time is a factor, but also you can increase your chances with time if you just, we'll make a video, dude. Like,
yeah, I think the industry is starting to realize how important collaboration is.
Yeah.
And by collaboration, I don't mean you work with a friend and you guys split whatever. Like, sometimes you pay for the job.
Yeah.
That's still collaboration. You're still getting another mind on it. And Evan's a great example of what that looks like. I mean, we had a whole conversation of what it's like for him. And he's like, I'm going in there understanding that I know how to do my job in the same way they're walking to the studio knowing they know how to do their job.
Yeah.
Like, he was and is a musician, a songwriter, and all this stuff. So he understands both sides of it. But the fact that he found a way to keep you listening to every new part of the song using visuals.
Yeah.
Like the fast motions and the fast zooms and all that stuff is really great to look at, but it also reminds you of what's going on audio wise.
Yeah.
And he's been a huge help and inspiration for me. We were talking today and he's giving me tips and stuff.
Yeah.
But huge shout out to him. He's killing it. And seeing your videos with him are so fun. Wait, was there one on a train or something that you guys did?
We always go to the downtown train tracks, like right in front of downtown. You know where that is? It's like where every artist ever has shot.
By the bridge, right?
Yeah. And the last time we shot, there was just a graffiti train parked there.
Dude, that video was insane.
Yeah, we were like, this is destiny. Like, we'll trespass and risk, you know, getting caught and in trouble or whatever. That's also one thing Evan loves to do is be like, yo, just go break the law a little bit and jump in that place and we'll get the crazy clip. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, don't be pussy. Like, it'll be like super sick.
That
I'm like,
all right,
fine, I'll do it. Like, let's do it. And the next thing you know, you get 50,000 followers off that one video and you're like, yep, we should have done that.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Shout out Evan.
Yep, content king.
Dr. Clips. That's so sick. So before you found Evan, your stuff was still starting to work.
Yeah.
Was it, do you think consistency is part of it or quality?
I guess it kind of comes down to trend spotting where like if one video pops up and I'm like, oh, this was a good idea. And then another similar video pops up and I'm like, oh, it's like a thing. I would just like copy and paste the link in my notes app and like go back to all of them and then write my version of it or like what it would be or something along the lines of that. And also just trying to figure out if something is trending on TikTok, how to make it apply to your songs. Like that was a big thing for me to do too. And the other big thing is just, I'm just going to leak some freaking stuff that works is just being like, hey, you like Linkin Park. So TikTok brought me to you because I sound like Linkin Park. That is literally how I got 300,000 followers. Basically, it's just being like Linkin Park fans like my stuff. Papa Roach fans like my stuff. And then.
So are you going on there and being like, hey, if you're a fan of Linkin Park, you'll probably like this.
Yeah. So we'll like play one line or two before the big chorus drops. And it's like, you like Linkin Park, Hollywood Undead, who I just made a song with. And like one other artist.
No way.
And, so TikTok, the algorithm like brought me to you or whatever. Like you just figure out like a hook and then the video drops and then you add the lyrics and do the whole thing. But the algorithm, if you're typing the words in the text, like on the app, it's going to push it to those people because it recognizes those words.
Interesting.
It's something I figured out.
So it's like, it's using it as like metadata.
Yeah. So like they want to be a search engine so bad that if you just like, we'll take the 2 seconds to type like the band's name, even if you like drag it off a screen, dude, like there's crazy things you can do to hide it. It'll send it to those people. I'm probably shooting myself in the foot saying that, but I don't really care that much because I don't think many artists will do it still. Like,
well, I got some questions for you once we turn this off. That's so insane. But do you think consistency was also part of it?
Every app wants you to post as much as you can. Like my big reels moments are happening now because I was still kind of slacking on it and I was only posting like 3 every week, which is still a lot in hindsight. But once I started doing like 5 to 6 is when it's like, now it's like a couple hundred followers a day, just like in passing.
And are you posting the same time every day?
On Reels, I am. TikTok, I kind of vary it just to see what works, especially when I'm on tour because the time zones are changing constantly. So like when I'm on this tour, I'll probably try to do 2 a day, 1 in the morning and 1 at night, just because I'm sitting in a van for 10 hours every day driving. So
I
I don't do all the driving, but I do drive. So when I'm down, I'm just like, be productive, post one, see what happens. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, if it gets 1,000 views, it's all good. Like, I feel like the biggest thing I learned was people will make, like, stick to it for like a month and they won't get results. And I didn't either. Like, I didn't get results for the crazy results for a year and a half. Like, I posted probably like 700 videos, bro. Like,
wow.
And same thing with like Instagram. I learned that my followers were stuck at like 40,000 for 2 or 3 years because I was at a point where gaining as much as I was losing because like, half of them were from college and I was not making music like I was making.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So just like old people who like fell off unfollowing you and stuff, which is fine. And then I was posting so much on Instagram and I was like, nothing's working. And then over the summer just clicked. And then now it's astronomical. Like,
so you just got to keep going.
You just have to keep going at what you think is an insane pace. I would say like they say, it makes you crazy if you keep doing something expecting the same result, but it is not the case on social media. Like you have to keep, and obviously don't keep making the same dumb video if it didn't work. Like keep trying new things. That was the biggest thing for me too, where I just wasn't putting myself in a box. And funnily enough, the simple things seem to do the best. Like I was trying to do, the skit things work for people.
Yeah.
They do not work for my music. Like I've never had luck with that. And then next thing you know, Evan comes along. He's like, just sing your chorus and lip sing it. And then we'll add the lyrics to it and it's going to blow up. And I was like, yeah, right. And then the easiest one.
And he was right.
Yeah. Didn't have to be creative. Like, obviously that sucks for him. He has to edit it. But for me, it made things 10 times easier when I realized that, like, if you don't want to go and make skits and you don't want to learn how to video edit, which I enjoy, all you have to do if the song's good is just make a cool clip.
Yes.
And the rest is history. Like, you have to post a lot and it sucks, but if it's good music, it's going to get out there, especially on TikTok.
And having songs blow up that are 5-6 years old, what's that like? Because you're clearly a different person you were 5-6 years ago, and you're making new things, and it's probably a bit different than what you're currently wanting to blow up. Has that been a weird situation? Weird feeling?
Yes and no. It's kind of funny because that first song, when I first moved to LA, like the day I moved here, when I shouldn't have moved here and I had like no money, is when that first song really took off 5 years later and it just like started paying my bills and stuff. But that to me was just like the universe patting me on the back and being like, good job. Like, this was the right idea.
Yeah.
So I didn't take it like that. And I was still kind of making music like that. But Numb blowing back up was great because I've been dropping rock music all year and it had like a rock hook. Yeah. And it just didn't work back then because it wasn't like MGK brought all this stuff back and people can say whatever they want, but he brought all that back, like 1,000%. Low key. And I will happily give him credit for that. So once we saw it was back, it was just like, the song had done well compared to other songs over time, but it didn't have like a huge moment. Mm. So we were like, okay, the song never had ads run for it. Like, this is all organic. Let's see what happens if we just throw it on TikTok, because it was my second or third biggest song. And then that's when it just went monumental. Like, if you have catalog history like I did, another big thing is to just take all your biggest songs you already know worked and just make TikToks and make them bigger. Like,
that has been
the other craziest thing that we just like discovered this year through Evan too, where he was just like, do your biggest songs. And I was like, the ones that are 6 years old? He's like, yeah. And then he was right.
How did he? Yeah. He's a fucking...
Dude, he's a genius. I keep telling him to do like a Cole Bennett thing. I'm like, dude, you're at a point now where you could start a label and blow them up through your videos and like start making money and percentages and all this crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like, nah, I'll think about it. I kind of got a good thing going. I'm like, yeah, you don't have to, but you're the guy if there's a guy.
Him and I talked about that because he's like, the reason I'm doing this is because this is all I want to do. Like, that's... these videos and that, like, he's like, I don't care how much they're paying. I don't want to go do a commercial. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I just want to make these videos, which I think that's part of why it works.
Yeah.
Is you have somebody who just clearly loves what he's doing. I mean, the thing that he's been telling me, he texted me it twice today, is every time you're taking a shit, you better watch a tutorial.
Yeah.
And if you're not taking a shit, you better watch a tutorial.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what he does.
Yeah.
What would you say is the difference between the music you're making now and the stuff that you were making 3, 4, or 5 years ago?
So I've had many phases where like I caught a buzz and then changed my mind and then caught a buzz again and then changed my mind again, like with sound stuff. So the first one was when we were in probably high school, was like frat rap, like college kid rap. Like that was huge.
Like the Skizzy Mars days.
Dude, I was like, I never toured with Skizzy Mars, but like I was touring with everyone in that lane besides Skizzy Mars kinda. And then that was because I was a college kid and it was like the sickest shit ever. And like everyone thought I was the man because I was like at all these frat parties playing songs, like traveling the country. And then I graduated school and I was like, I don't know if I want to be that guy forever. And I moved to LA and NF started getting a buzz back then. And I thought it was really cool how like raw his stuff was. So I had this whole era of stuff like NF where I also caught a buzz and was coming up pretty hard and started touring with people like that. And then I was like, I hate rapping. Like, I'm done with rapping. And I made like this pop punk album literally like a couple months before I was going to start rolling it out is the MGK time. And I just got stupid lucky. And then a year later, I saw with like State Champs and all these bands that I looked up to as a kid. Like, that was crazy. And I was like, things are going well. Like, maybe this is it. And then I was like, nope, that's not it. And I settled on rock. And this is the rock year where everything kind of feels like it clicked a lot more.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is who I am as a person. It makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, now we're in a phase where it's hard to put a label on it because I made my producers like lock in with me for a year and be like, I don't want to be a rock artist, but I want to have rock elements, but also elements from everything.
Yeah.
So now we're at the blend is what I call it because I don't know what it is, but it's just like this next stuff I'm dropping is kind of like Beastie Boysy, Limp Bizkity.
Oh, fuck.
Mixed with Eminem. Like, it's hard to explain it, but when you hear it, you're like, okay, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense. But it's just been me being annoying and trying everything to make sure I'm sure. And it's taken 11 years, but I feel like, I mean, it's going great. Like, I feel like it was worth it, the wait.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's always going to be a wait.
Yeah.
Because you're always going to be experiencing what's five steps behind where you're going.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of the best part about it. Do you think you're ever going to be content?
No. I feel like every artist might be plagued by that, where it's just, because I was thinking about this the other day, and it's because I saw a video by this dude, Nick D. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's actually from my hometown. Very nice. We talk here and there. But he posted this video where he was like, I think I'm okay if this doesn't get any further because I already accomplished everything I wanted to do. Like, if I go down the list of everything I wanted to do when I was 17, like, it's surpassed by like a million miles.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, if I got all this stuff, I would be like, yeah, I did it. But now I'm just like, if I did that, what could I do 5 years from now?
Absolutely.
So it's constantly chasing that, but also trying to acknowledge that if I told the 17-year-old kid me that I was just on TV for the WWE, like, he'd be like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. Like, you're a liar. So I'm trying to be good at acknowledging that stuff because I always just keep pushing to the next thing.
Yeah.
But I would say just like, what? I went on a whole tangent. What was your question?
If you feel like you're ever going to be content.
Oh, yeah. No. Long story short, like, once you accomplish things, at least for me, I'm like so driven that life is just one big game to see how far I can get past Go. Basically, once I've already collected the money from Go, like, how far can you go? So now it's just like everything's in overtime and I don't want overtime to end. So it's just like trying to figure out how to keep the game going, I guess, which is an interesting way to put it. But I don't think most people in my position want, I don't know. It's just like once you get a taste, you're like, it's not like I want to be a famous celebrity either. Like, I would never want to be like Justin Bieber, but I just want to just see what, like, I can accomplish. Like, maybe next headline tour, we sell it to 500 cap venues all over across the country. Like, and then it's 1,000 and then it's 2,000 and it's arenas and stadiums. Yeah. It's like, why not just see how far you can take it? And I was also thinking, like, I always thought I'd be the guy that walks away before he falls off, but I don't think I will, because I don't think that's how it works. I think you keep going until you can't anymore.
100%.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I was asking, because like, I see all these artists who you end up seeing them perform their old songs and people are like, how do you keep doing that every night? And
yeah.
It's like, how could you not?
Yeah.
Like, there's no quit.
Yeah.
You're in this industry till you die.
Yeah. And dude, I'll say this, like, even going back to the Numb thing, because the song was 6 years old when it blew up, I never played it because it never blew up for 6 years. And now I get to play it. And like, I did this festival in Florida in May and there were probably close to like 5,000 to 7,000 people there in my crowd. And a lot of them knew it. And I was like, no one knew this song like a year ago and it's been out for 5 years. So it's just like, it's just a whole new era where I feel like 5 years from now, if things aren't going good, another song could just blow up and change that. And then we're back. And then the game keeps going. Like, I don't know. I don't think anyone knows how it works anymore, which is exciting. No. Like, and it's why I don't want to walk away. It's like a casino.
And when you figure out how it works, it's already changed.
Yeah.
Like that's the weird thing about this is there's a new software. There's a new company that you need to be on, or a new social media platform, or
yeah,
whatever the fuck it is. But I think that's the coolest part about this is how many jobs are there in the world where you don't want to retire?
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say the 99% of the world is their goal is to not have to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like if people could have the opportunity to feel that way about whatever they're doing, the world would be a lot happier place.
Yeah. And it's crazy because they have the choice. Oh, I shouldn't say it that way, but I feel like you know what I mean, where it's like, there's nothing special about me besides that I'm just like really stubborn.
But you also found what you love.
Yeah. And that's true too. I did try a lot of things and I feel like everyone should be doing that. But I wasn't good at music when I started. Like,
from the same people who brought back your balls and made your bush bearable brings you the Beard Hedger. There's one thing about travel that I hate more than anything in the world, and that is bringing 20 different little clip guards just to get the right shave. Not anymore. Manscaped has your back. The Beard Hedger has 20 built-in clipping lengths, so you do not have to worry about losing them anymore. Not only that, but this thing is waterproof. It's cordless and it has a long-lasting battery, so you don't have to worry about this thing shutting off halfway through and looking like a dork for the rest of your day. Fellas, do me a favor. Stop going to your dates with clean, smooth balls and a gross-looking face. You need them to match. If you want to support me in this podcast, the best thing that you can do is support the sponsors. They help me keep going and make this something that I can continue to do. So do me a favor. Head to manscaped.com. Use the code EXPERIMENT and get 20% off and free shipping. That's 20% off in free shipping with the code EXPERIMENT at manscaped.com. Go get your beard hedger with 20 different clip lengths.
It all, this whole thing stemmed from, in high school, I was bored and I put out a song and everyone said it sucked. And I was like, oh, you motherfuckers, just wait. And then 11 years later, you're like, this is my job and I'm going to go tour. And then I was on TV and I got this crazy stuff going on behind the scenes. Like, I feel like anyone could have done it, I think is my main point.
But I guess that's just the perspective of somebody who's willing to do what it takes.
Exactly. And I should say that too, because a lot of people aren't willing to do what it takes.
No, and some people don't want to.
And that's also fine, because there's a lot of points where I'm having a mental breakdown once a week. Like, and I'm just like, and then I sit there and I have that moment where I'm just like, I wouldn't want to do anything else. Like, I can take a break for a little bit. I'm super stressed. And then it's like, wake up the next day, switch back on, try it. Yeah. Like,
you see a blue car drive by and you're like, blue car.
Yeah.
And then a song pops
in. Yeah, exactly.
And do you think that you could ever see yourself hitting other verticals that you'd enjoy? Like using what you've gained from your music career, doing film, doing anything outside of the music world?
I'm going to keep going back to the game thing. And this is like an epiphany I've had on this podcast, because I've never talked about it like this. So it's like, if I can think about it like a game, I'll probably like it. And another big thing that a lot of people frown upon that I'm very good at is crypto.
Really?
And I got super into it over the pandemic, because there was so much uncertainty about what was going to happen that I was just like, where should I put my money? Like, what do I do? And Bitcoin just kept coming up and I put it in on Bitcoin at like $3,000, and it had that whole disgusting run up. And then I was like, what is this?
I put it in at $3,000?
A little over. Like, it was like $3,000 to $4,000 when I started buying it, and it was going up, but I kept buying it.
When did you pull out?
At like 59. I didn't have a whole Bitcoin though. Like, I'm not going to come up and cap like I had a whole, but it still made a ton of money. And then I was just like, okay, something clicked with that. Like, how do I, cause it like something about like 99% of people lose what they put in crypto. And I like got lucky and I won. And I was like, I could maybe be good at this. Like, how do I get into it? And for now, like what, the past 3 years, for 4 hours a day, I'm like looking at crypto stuff when I'm not in the studio.
Still,
super obsessed. Unreal. Super obsessed with it. And then that got me into like investing in stocks and like day trading and stuff like that. And just trying to be smart with my wins and like making more wins from wins. Like, my music win was like getting my big record deal. And I was like, I'm not going to buy anything. I'm going to invest it all and not be an idiot. Cause I'm terrified of becoming that guy that like blows all their money and like falls off and like tries to act rich and then goes broke doing so, you know?
So you're smart.
Yes. So I'm trying to be smart and logical with everything. So I invested it all. And that's just like another game to me where, you know, crypto is obviously a gamble. So I'm not putting all my money into it because I'm not an idiot. But like,
but if there you're putting are some, in energy, and if you know what you're doing.
If you do your research and you know what you're doing, it can literally change your life. And it changed my life for sure. Like, everything changed when that clicked. So as long as there's like a game, or like, I always wonder if I'm like addicted to gambling in a non-gambling way, because it's like, I took a gamble by getting a degree and then moving to LA with no money in my bank account to pursue music, and it worked. And then you took a gamble with like crypto, but like, I don't gamble my money in casinos. So I wonder what the deal with that is. But it's always like, if there's high risk, I like thrive there.
Well, it sounds like you also like proving the other wrong, like whether it's yourself or the other people.
That is 100% where it stems from, where if you tell me I can't do it, I probably will do it if it's possible. Like, if it's obviously impossible, like you won't walk on the moon, I'd be like, yeah, probably not. I don't want to do that. But
it's so crazy.
Yeah.
But I get it. And I'm the same way. And like, if I have $500, I'm spending $400 of that on a way to grow my business.
Yeah.
Even though I could lose it.
Yeah.
Then buying food and I'm going to go hungry for a few days. And I'm fine with that.
Like, I've never been religious or like spiritual, but whenever I go all in on something that's high risk that I want and makes sense, and it's like a risk that, calculated risk, I'm looking for that, it always works. Like, the universe is just like, whoop, go ahead.
Well, there's something about pigeonholing yourself into a position where you have to work hard for what you get.
Yeah.
Like, if you have everything on the line and you understand that and you got yourself there, it's like, okay, I dug myself a hole, I better fucking build a ladder to get out.
Yeah.
And you have to build that ladder versus being, you know, 4 feet in a hole, and you're like, I could probably just climb out at some point.
That's, and I see so many people there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you could get out right now. And they just, like, some people, it doesn't click. It's so strange to me.
I think that's why LA is so important. And I don't think everybody needs to be here to be in this industry. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a must, but there's something about watching so many people talented, the most talented person from where they come from, and see them just fuck it up because they don't want to work harder than the next person.
Yeah.
There's something about that that's like, it puts fire under my ass. It yeah. just makes you need, it makes you need to work hard.
Yeah. I say this all the time too. Like, I've been friends with many people that made it further than any of us thought was possible. And I've also been friends with people that live with their parents now. And the only difference is that they just didn't give up.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy. It's easier said than done, but like, that's why it goes back to the thing where it's like, I don't know if I'll walk away before I'm just a complete fall off, like has been dude, because I don't think that's a realistic scenario anymore with like how the game is.
Well, and also, if you're at a point where you can say that you've done things that you've only dreamed of.
Yeah, like if I walked away now, I think I would struggle with it a lot just because I would miss it, but I don't think I'd be like, I gave up. It would be like, I decided I was done.
I also, though, I think that also means that you can't fall off.
Yeah.
You already got on and took your seat.
That's also so true. I don't know why it's such a weird thing to be like making music if you had like a high point and now you're at a lower point, but you still do it. Doesn't make any sense to say that now that you say that.
Well, and it's like saying, I actually don't know what I was going to say, what I was going to compare it to. Side tangent. When I was 14, I bought all my friends in my school fake IDs with crypto.
Nice.
With Bitcoin. And I got it at, it was like $75 at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I bought like probably $150 worth.
Yeah.
And my account got locked. And it's all still there somewhere. And that's a lot of money.
Wait, what did you use?
I don't remember. My cousin's in charge of it.
Okay, because you should look into it. I'm just saying, just because now they're recovering all that for people.
Oh, shit.
If it was this thing called Mt. Gox, they got it back.
Well, part of the reason it got locked is because we got caught by the FBI buying fake IDs and drugs.
That'll do it.
But that's a whole different
thing. That'll do it.
But he just sent me the receipt a couple days ago that he found.
Yeah.
And it was like $12 Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And it when Bitcoin, it was like... It was one, we had like 2.5 Bitcoin at one point, maybe 3 Bitcoin. And then we had 3 Bitcoin another time and 5 Bitcoin another time.
I'm so sorry.
You're chilling. Like we probably had 15.
As we're talking about this, I already posted it, but that's my, you forgot to post content alarm.
Oh, that's smart.
But I had the same thing happen. Like obviously some of my friends sold drugs in high school. I feel like everyone knows at least one friend that sold drugs in high school. And he was like a hot shot. So he had a lot of Bitcoin.
Oh yeah.
And he would have been like, he said he would have had like something like $100 million if he didn't lose it. And it's just like, that would kill me.
We definitely had a good amount of money in there. We used to have to go to CVS, buy a gift card for a certain store. Then we had to go do a money order to that gift card to China to some guy there who then 2 days later would give us a call and the money would be in an account. It was like, and we were 14, 15 years old.
That is insane.
It was ridiculous. I didn't even sell drugs. I just bought drugs for friends on there.
Yeah, just to buy drugs, yeah.
And fake IDs and stuff. But if we would have known.
Dude, I know.
Would have done it differently. Yeah.
Especially now with like the AI stuff. I wondered like even in 5 or 10 years how different it's going to be.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. I want to just put this on a tangent. Like, don't make machines artists, please. Thank you.
100%.
It should be a human done thing regardless of how far technology has advanced.
And I think people need to push the idea more of these are tools versus the mind.
Yeah.
We got the mind. Those are, a hammer's awesome. A hammer's not going to nail or hammer a nail in on its own. We need to keep everything else like that.
Yeah. It would just feel so weird to me to hear like a sad song from a robot and like relate to that. I'd be like, oh, just give me the heebie-jeebies. It's just weird.
I think there's going to be a few years where it's cool where it... evens the playing field. And somebody maybe who's not great at theory can hum something out and get a melody and throw that MIDI in, whatever. And then it's going to be at a point where you're like, oh, who made that? And you're like, who? Nobody.
Yeah, a machine.
It just happened.
Yeah.
It's weird. What are you working on now? What's in the works?
I'm starting to roll out my quote unquote second album. I don't know if it's going to be an album yet. Like it might just be 12 singles that I release once a month, but the next project is starting to roll out. We're going to do new music and videos every 4 weeks, I think. So we're coming with the content, the music, like we're really going for it.
Who's we? Who are you signed by?
I'm with this label called Position. They're new.
Okay.
But they have their head on their shoulders. Like, I think they're a lot better off than most of these labels are when it comes to like the content stuff figured out. Like, we got them to hire a guy that does all our TikToks now who will shoot and edit them and send them to us, and we just have to post them, which is amazing. And he very much is Evan style. Like, Evan basically taught the next generation of videographers how to make TikToks, and they're all doing it. But that's Tommy, and he's great. Shout out to Tommy. And lots of touring. I'm basically going to tour as much as I can in the next 3 or 4 years. There's three ways as an artist I think you can grow right now, and it's touring and actually getting in front of people now, making the content, and obviously big features from people, some of which you're going to have to pay for, some of which it just comes from a friendly thing.
Speaking of that, you brought up a feature earlier.
Hollywood Undead.
That's insane.
We just dropped a song together and it...
Oh, you dropped it already.
It's out. That thing went to a million in like 2 weeks. Like, their fans... Hollywood Undead is very much more alive than they've ever been. Like, I have never had a reaction by any fan base as much as theirs did, which is crazy.
That's so sick.
Like, I know they're big artists and like they've had a crazy career and trajectory, but like they're probably bigger right now than they were when I was listening to them in middle school before I even thought I was going to make music.
But look at half of the new people coming out are NSYNC and fucking Blink 182.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking insane that we're at a place where the people we grew up on are having not only a second wind, but some of them a bigger second wind than the first one.
All because of social media. Like, it's so crazy.
And that kind of comes to say, like what you were talking about earlier with how you had songs that blew up 5 years later. There's always going to be a version of that.
Yeah.
It's the people who decide that they're ready for it and keep going and keep working hard. But there's always going to be a version of that.
Yeah.
Always. And I have a weird feeling that in like 10 years from now, it's just going to be tenfold what it is now.
I would love that. If like 10 years from now, I'm way bigger, like that would be amazing. I think in my ideal scenario, by the time I'm like 28 right now, by the time I'm like late 30s, I'd be wrapped and probably figuring something else out. Because I do love music, but at the same time, I also think it would be naive to spend my life doing one thing. Like, I feel like there's more than one thing I would really enjoy doing out there.
Yeah.
And I would like kind of want to find that. But I'll always make music, but I should say just like I'll stop caring about results eventually.
Yeah.
And just move on to something else. But I wouldn't be surprised. Like, there's this dude Prof who I think is like 38 and he's having a huge moment. I went to a show the other week and I've never seen a show that crazy in my life. Just 1,000 or like 1,500 people screaming every word, losing their mind. And he's just this rapper that blew up and he's always been around on the underground, like he's been like talked about a lot.
Yeah.
But because of these social media sites, dude, he's like turning into a superstar and he's like about to turn 40. And it's like, so then now I'm like, what if I quit before I'm 40 and it was supposed to happen when I was 40? You know what I mean? So it's just like,
so insane.
It just always goes back to that where it's like, I don't think you can ever quit now because you're always so close.
Well, there's always going to be new versions of it that you can go into. You can find yourself 15 years from now or 20 years from now at what? You're 20, you said you're 28?
Yeah.
So at 48, you could have 5 artists under your belt and you help them write and you do all these things and there's just a new variation of it.
Yeah.
And maybe you release 5 songs a year on your own.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe you're sick of doing the hustle with it and you pass that hustle on to somebody else. And there's always a different version. And I think that's why we're lucky also. I mean, you can love your job as a construction, you know, as a, what's the title, construction
worker?
Construction? I guess that is just the word.
Yeah.
As a construction worker. But there's a point when you just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many different versions of that. And there's, I don't know, this is an industry where it recycles so often that there's always room to come back and speak your mind.
Yeah. And I always see myself like, because I've only done this for 11 years, which is a very long time in like the hindsight of an entire life. But if you get this far in 11 years, like I'm very much a songwriting nerd where like I just want to get better as a writer. Like what happens if you just keep going till you're like 50 or 60? And then when you're 60, I have this idea in my head where I start dropping Eminem type songs when I'm like a 60-year-old man with like a cane and like this old dude that can just like rap his ass off.
Or in 15 years from now, you have a big cowboy hat on, you live on a ranch, and you're singing folk music.
Exactly. Like, I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if stuff like that eventually happened because I just get so bored. I'm like so ADHD. But there's always just that what if that is probably going to drive me crazy forever and make me just keep going.
Do you want to have a family?
I'm not opposed. Like, I am engaged and I'm going to get married in 2 years, but That's new since I was on the show. Yeah, I got engaged. But
fuck yeah.
We're not, like, we talk about it all the time where we're like, we're not in a hurry. We're still pretty young. Like, she's 2 years younger than me, so she's 26, and we have plenty of time to figure it out. I definitely want to get a couple years of touring out of the way just to keep building stuff and, like, have a healthy foundation underneath it so we're, like, feel better about stuff. But I'm not opposed to having a family at all. And even if I did, like, I don't think I would raise a family in LA, but then you just go to Nashville and then you're like, you become an amazing songwriter because those dudes are out of their mind with songwriting in Nashville. It's like such a huge difference with songwriting in Nashville and here. But
and by then there might be a new place too. You know, yeah. It could be Idaho or fucking
I don't
wherever.
Know. See, I'm on the fence. Like, I used to think it would be LA forever, but now I'm like, I'm not sure because I feel like most of the big artists coming up right now don't even live here. They're just kids on TikTok.
Yeah.
And most of them make a point of not moving here. Like Connor Price and Nick D, for example, like they are huge because of TikTok. And they're like, we're never doing LA. Nick's like, I'm never touring. Like, it doesn't matter. I don't need to do this stuff. So it did change that atmosphere, I guess, of the industry. And I do see a lot of people going to Nashville, some to Atlanta. I don't like Atlanta. No offense to anyone from Atlanta. It's just not my cup of tea. Some people are in like Miami, New York City. It's like all over now. So I wouldn't be surprised. And I would appreciate
Austin.
Yeah, like
Austin. See, I think it's like what I don't know if you're a fan of Rogan, but what he did with Austin for the comedy scene.
Yeah.
He said, I'm deciding that there will be a scene here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make sure that happens.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to do that for us.
Yeah.
Whether it's Post or whoever it is going to go to Utah.
Yeah.
Or whoever and be like, this is the home of it now. We're going to start over. We're going to do it right this time.
Yeah.
And maybe that's you. Maybe you're the person to do that.
I would love to be that person whenever that is. Yeah. I'm down to make Nashville like the number one rap scene in America right now. They'll be very upset about it.
What do you like about Nashville?
It's not that I'm just like love the East Coast and I'm from there.
Yeah.
And I want to be at a hub for music because I do think like at least with creativity, even if eventually I'm not doing music for my income, like it'll probably be something with like media or marketing around it. So it's just like we went there. We had actually been planning to move there over the pandemic, but we didn't because things started going really well for me out here. But just like it's an East Coast vibe. The people are nice for the most part. Less crime so far. Like the taxes are crazy compared to California. My God. And there's definitely a lot of benefits of living there. And also we enjoy the fall and winter because we grew up with it.
Yeah.
And also just like I said, like I don't want to be in one place forever. I was in my hometown for 18 years and now I've been in LA for 6 years. So like once I get to that 10 year mark, I'm probably just going to be like, I should just go somewhere else because I should.
Yeah.
You know,
where
just
are you
like
from?
Virginia. Okay. Yeah, outside of DC. But yeah, I don't know. I just want to make sure annoyingly enough, like I don't know if I'll ever find a place where I stay there forever, which is hard because like you want to be with your friends and like the people you love and like around. But I just feel like it's kind of naive to do that when you might only be able to do this life thing one time, I guess.
Yeah.
So I just want to experience as much as I can in different places while I can, I guess.
I think that's smart. Yeah. I think if you move somewhere where you decide I'm going to be here for the rest of my life, it's because you decide you're going to be there for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like that's just that you'll know if that happens.
Yeah.
If that happens. Like that doesn't have to be the route. And I think so many people are expecting to live the way that we used to have to live.
Yeah. And I don't think it makes sense anymore. Like,
no, I agree.
Yeah. Like, houses are absurd. I don't know if anyone's gonna own a house I know out here. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so yeah, like that's another thing where it's just like, yeah, if you want to buy a house, LA's probably not the place unless you have a crazy come up and you have like all the money to do so. But yeah, there's just so many new factors and so much changing. Like you said, AI, like maybe in 10 years the AI gets so far that like none of us have to work and then we have to figure out a new system and new things and that changes where people go and like stuff like that.
Or the only thing we can do is tour.
Yeah, literally the only thing we can do so people don't look at a screen making their music is to like get in front of them. Yeah, I just think there's so much changing all the time. And I don't know if this is right, but I read somewhere where it's like every year technological advances are doubling.
Yeah.
So like
yeah,
2 years this year, 4 years next year, 8 years after that, 16 years after that gets to like 100 years in like less than 10 years very quickly with technology. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I don't think our lives are going to be modeled like when we were born. Like it's going to be a cool generation to be in where we grew up and lived that way. And then now we're all going to live another way. And like, that's what we figured out. Like, I feel like that's going to be a cool transition as long as it's a good one.
Uh-huh. Well, I feel like for us, I mean, you're younger than you. So like same time frame. We're like the last of the Mohicans. We're the last people who got to see what reality was like for 30 years.
Yeah. And also pre-iPhone. Like, we didn't have iPhones when we were kids. Like, even cell phones. Like, I remember not having cell phones growing up and landlines and, like, all that crazy stuff that people won't know what that is that were born this year. Like, crazy.
I was thinking about it. My little brother probably doesn't know what it means to hop on somebody else's line. Uh-huh. Like, when you're on the phone, your parents get on, like, get off.
Yeah.
Like, that, the fact that we're so far past it, or the fact that when we were coming up, I mean, phones had 1 or 2 gigs.
Yeah.
And now I have a little piece of metal that has 1,000 or 2,000 gigabytes on it.
Yeah.
And my kid, this will probably be almost 1,000 gigabyte this episode, which is just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it seems like everything is just changing so quickly. And I think we have the option for it to either be really fun.
Yeah.
Or for it to become something that is our demise.
Yeah, like dystopian.
Yeah.
We're very much headed both ways. So it'll be, that's what I'm talking about too, where it's like, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But like, in a messed up way, like, kind of exciting both ways, just to see like where we're going with this. I don't know.
And like, as much as things like social media and stuff have become a burden, it's also given the opportunity for, like you were saying, that kid in the fucking middle of nowhere who deserves and worked his ass off or her ass off to get to where they are. It gives them the opportunity to level with us.
Yeah.
To somebody who's in LA who can run into the big people just going out to the club or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or somebody like me who fucking hates going out.
Yeah.
I don't have to. I that time going out and maybe meeting people that could help me, I can make 10 extra TikToks that could give me the same amount of energy.
My friends used to tell me that too, where they're like, you're missing out on networking. And I was like, I'm making the network, brother. Like, we are building that. Like,
yes.
I don't want to go to a club till 3 a.m. because I don't drink. I'm tired from making, like, pushing myself to the max every day. Like, I don't want to go out late. And it seems to work better than... I haven't run into some dude in LA that's like, I'm going to change your life. And it's been 6 years and I'm in a good spot. Like, I meet good people and none of them have been like, you, I'm going to pick you and just change everything. Like, I would rather just find thousands of fans every month on the internet.
Yeah. Well, you can change your own life.
Yeah.
Like, we're finally at a place where you don't have to make shortcuts or take shortcuts in order to get where you're going. And you don't have to know somebody who's done it before. You can just try shit.
And I have friends on like, labels like mine that are new and like still figuring things out, which I enjoy being a part of, like helping them figure things out together and like thinking of creative things. And I have friends on majors and they're all saying the same thing, which is to make the content. Cause there's not like, we're in an era where we're not saying labels are bad, but there's just not much they can do right now with that kid in Oklahoma 100%. Blowing up. Like, there's so much new competition for them that there's like, labels are still trying to figure out the new way to do their job too, basically. And so they're just like, make your TikToks and get your pre-saves. And that's like about where we're tapped out. And you're like, okay, I could have done that without a label. You know what I mean? So it is a very interesting time where it's exciting to me because like we've been saying this whole time, it's like a new level in the game that everyone's trying to figure out and beat.
I'm so impressed with everything you're fucking doing. And
thank you.
The amount you seem to be enjoying it too is just, it's cool to see somebody win that fucking doesn't even just deserve to win, but makes everybody around them feel good on the way.
Like, that's, I try, for
that's
sure.
Really, yeah, cool to you. See. And the fact that you're not out there getting fucked up every night and partying, and that's not what's cool about you, is really nice. Cause that's something that's really easy to turn bad quickly.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than seeing somebody who has a lot more to give to the world, not have the ability to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of kids who come up thinking that it's cool to put in the extra hours than to get fucked up because of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which, as somebody who, I love getting fucked up, don't get me wrong, I don't really drink much, only on the podcast, but that all comes as a reward for a full day of hard work or whatever it is. And I just really respect the way you're leading it.
Thank you.
And everything you're doing. And congrats on the engagement. That's
thank you, dude.
Cool.
Yeah. Very stoked.
Congrats on the tour. I'd say go buy tickets, but you guys might not be able to. It's probably going to be sold out anyways.
Selling out. Yeah.
Dude, that's so sick.
Thank you.
I'm stoked on everything you're doing.
Thank you,
they all know where to find you. Everything's below. You'll it's all there.
Come say what's up.
And where's the first show at?
We start in San Diego and then LA this weekend. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yep.
So hopefully I'll be at the LA show. I'm going to try.
Dude, it's sick. It's going to be a party. I'm saying.
Oh, that's so sick.
I'm trying to hype it up, but it is. I don't party, but it's going to be a party.
And you know? I mean, the guy from the WWE is there.
Yeah.
That's so sick. Well, maybe your next event will be wrestling.
That was what my fiance was saying. She was like, I feel like you would be good at this. And I was like, I'm not doing that. Like,
Logan Paul style, baby.
Yeah, I was like, don't even get me started with that.
Well, thank you so much for coming back. Let's not let it be another 8 months.
Yeah, for sure.
And thank you everybody for watching. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you guys. Go stream up his music. Go check his socials. Everything's linked below. I appreciate you, brother. For sure. And to everybody out there,
I'm Ryan Oaks, and this is an experiment.
Yeah, it is. Bye, everybody. Love you.
The experience is the experiment.